Hi everyone, thank you Andrew for the introduction and for this conference. I'm Tanguy, I'm a software engineer at my own company, I'm a freelancer, and so I'm going to present an app that I will quickly describe. So this application is, a friend of mine asked me to work together on a project for one of his clients, and their business is in the logistics area. They deliver big furnitures via trucks in France, and right now they're still doing it in the good old days of paper, and they wanted to improve this process, and they were thinking about a mobile app. So generally they get all their furnitures and big parcels in their own storage area, centralized, and then they deliver on each destination to provide for different clients. And so the process of that would be that a truck driver would come on Monday morning, pick up the paper, which is quite heavy because they have a lot of work, and so they take this for the whole week, and they drive around the country for 1 week completely, and at the end of the week they come back and they're done. And but so during this time, if there is any problem or status update, the company doesn't know anything about it basically, except if they call them. And so most of the time it's just we don't know until they come back, because sometimes what happens, somebody is not there. They said they would be there, but they're not there, but then the next destination is too far away to just come back, etc. So it's sometimes hard to juggle, and this app has the added benefit of making it paperless, so there is less paperwork to deal with, and also have feedback sooner. So one of the constraints of the application is that it needs to work offline, because a truck driver might be lost in the middle of areas where there is nearly no signal, but the app still should work. I was supposed to show you a demo, but I think with the time that I have, it's gonna be a little bit short. Anyway, just to describe it, it's mostly basic widget. It's really a management app. And what we manage shipping routes. And in those shipping routes for the whole week, we have different destination. Once at the destination, we deliver for multiple clients, because we had a parcel from different clients to deliver to those destination. And then we check that everything's all right, and then we move on to the next destination. It's like a very hierarchical data structure. So here is one of the screens. This is once they arrive at a destination, they can, before they arrive at this destination, they just decide which one they are going to. And then they can have Google Maps open automatically to direct them there. I'm going to describe quite fast the architecture. I hope it will be big enough for people online. Michelle, if you can tell me if there is some people complaining about the size. And for this, if I remember right, we have the truck driver who will be using the application, and there will be also the ERP from the company that they have developed themselves, because the current owner is a software engineer from before as well, so he also developed some part of it. And we have an external dependency on an OSM tile creator for just this little map, because I was not motivated to create an SVG renderer of OSM data street data. All right, so let's go to the diagram. Does it work? Does it? Yes. Oh, it's in black. Can I change? Well, I hope it's gonna be okay. Can you see? Yeah, okay. All right, so let's dig into Telescan. I'm gonna zoom in if I know how to do it. Do I? No. Okay, that's... Oh, yes, because it's the other way. Okay. Well, it's very sensitive. Okay, so so basically it's split into the whole app. There is a mobile app that I will describe because it's what's interesting for us. There is a REST API that is that will store all the data for those shipping routes, and that stores that in a database. And there is a REST client for the ERP, because the ERP is developed in PHP, but so we need like some library to access the API. And so the API, for now, it was still the mobile app that would actually contact the OSM tile, which kind of made the whole offline moot, because when you wanted to go to the destination, then you couldn't like display the map. So now I'm moving into the REST API, so then all the data is get directly. So when the mobile app starts, basically it gets all the data from the shipping route onto the device, and normally they're good to go. And when they can, it synchronizes to the REST API. And this is when the ERP can get like updates along the way. So on the mobile app, it's just a partial. Okay, which one was it? No, yes. Okay. So basically, I have some kind of logic. This is kind of the offline logic. Is I created like a shipping route store, which is just in memory, persist the data that it has synchronized with the REST API in fine preferences as a simple JSON dump of the whole state. And what happens during the life cycle of the app, there is a sync go routine that runs in the background and will check if the state of the shipping route has changed, and if it's the case, then it's going to synchronize to the RIP client, and I think it does that every 1 minute. So even like if they did some updates but there was no network, next minute we'll try again and update as much as possible. And so this goes then to the REST API. That is completely all the way different. Anyway, so there is also a fine Android intent camera that allows to basically take pictures, and then we save them also in the REST API server. We have like some image storage system. And as well, the signature widget, once we have a widget that allow people to sign with their fingers, if when this is done, we also save in the same image backend on the REST API. All right, I think this is like a big overview. So for the tech options, it has been a long time. I have worked on a full project from A to Z. I always join team as a freelancer. It's like, okay, we need one more developer, so join the team. And so you need to always adapt to the technologies and the way the team work. And here, my friend was very busy with other contract. He was mostly doing the project management and some PHP development. And so I was really able to have fun. And so my friend was more leaning on the progressive web apps because they have the background workers and stuff like that to do all those synchronization. But from my own experience of using progressive web apps, I was not so satisfied because sometimes you didn't have the network and you didn't have the app. And like, well, the promise was to be able to use it as a native app and stuff. And there was as well another problem is I don't remember exactly the date, but at some point Apple decided, like, you know what, Google, progressive web apps, we're not doing them. And for 1 or 2 years, people were like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do progressive web apps because Apple did say they wouldn't support it. Actually, they changed again. They're like, okay, we're going to support it. But still, like, it's like putting all the effort of development in an app that then gets unusable afterwards is not very enticing. So then we could go native. And so there is like React Native, Android with Java or Kotlin, there's Flutter, there's Vue, and Fine. So React Native, basically, I decided against because like progressive web apps was web. I wanted to get away from web as well. And React Native, from what I've heard, like the tooling is maybe can change too much and stuff like that. So I just wanted, like, basically I'm using Go because it's very stable and I don't want to have a problem every 2 or 3 months. And talking about that, let's talk about Flutter. I tried Flutter back in the day and it was like, oh, it seems very nice, okay. Dart, okay, I would have preferred Go, but whatever, let's try. And so I tried and I just did a Hello World. And I added one button to display the call logs of the phone and one button to record myself. And that was it. And then I didn't touch it for 3 months. And then I was like, oh, I would like to add this functionality on the thing. So I just did a Flutter run without touching anything, Flutter run the app, and I was expecting to rerun what it used to run 3 months ago. I really didn't touch it. And everything was broken. It took me 3 hours to fix it because Flutter run actually did update Flutter, updated Dart to a breaking level version. And so all the plugins that I was using, or extensions, I don't remember the name, well, the dependency were broken because they were using a syntax that was not compatible with the new version of Dart. And I'm like, wow. So I put like basically one night of work for just a Hello World, and I lost already 3 hours on it. Like, what if I had like a real project for clients? Like, losing that amount of time is crazy. So I was like, okay, no, thank you. Gue, I was very excited for a while. It's just like at some point, like there was a lot of breaking change because like they're still like developing many features. And so as well, like I was like, okay, maybe it's not stable enough. And I didn't discover Fine until actually late. And I'm very glad I did, because that's when I started like looking at what it was doing. But actually I didn't really work with Fine that much before. So before I go to that point, because there is Android as well, Java, Kotlin, and people say like, oh, but Java, yeah, it's too heavy, just don't use it. With Kotlin, it's great. But the problem, I think, is not just Java or Kotlin being better than Java or something. For me, the problem is the platform, which is Android. Android SDKs have changed so much. The last time I touched them, and now they are completely different. There have been a lot of breaking changes all around. And so it's very hard to keep track of as well. So this is not where I wanted to use my energy, or at least not in a way that basically all the investment I put right now will be lost in the next 2-3 years, and I have to do it again. I don't want constant investment in technology all the time. I want to have like some return on investment at some point. So just to have fun for a second, like how do you get contacts in Android SDK? So first you have a contact contract. Okay, I don't know why. We need a loader manager. Loading what? I don't know. But we need a loader manager which has loader callbacks from cursor. As a cursor, it's... And then we have from colons. So you put everything. It's like very... I don't know what it does. This is copy-pasted from the official tutorial. Then you have this. You need a projection. I still don't know what it is. And they actually put suppress linter, which gives you, done in the official documentation, you already need to suppress the linter who tells you that you're doing something wrong. I mean, it's, and this is number two. Oh, and then here you have syntax, like SQL-like syntax. So even though they have many layers of types and abstraction, still there are ways to have problems in runtime because you didn't put the right character in your string. And then finally we have our cursor that use the loader, put the contract with content URI, projection selection and stuff. For me it's just gibberish, I don't understand. For me, like, this cursor is cursed and that's it. Anyway, so let's move on, and I decided for Fine. The problem that I had was I actually didn't develop with Fine for real. But I really trusted into the project. I've seen like many presentations that Andrew did, and I was really amazed by them. So I was like, I think it can handle that. I was like, okay, I don't know if you know about the innovation token, if you've heard about it, like some people, like if you do a project, you need to have 1 to 3 innovation token. Otherwise, like, you might just go in the wall because you're just losing your time getting up to speed with a new way of doing things. And so I was like, okay, I will try to get only 1 token and it will be fine because it might be a big one, but I'm confident. But there was some risk. So I was like, on this I need to really de-risk the project as much as possible. The big risk for me was interaction with camera. We needed pictures, for example, they deliver something and it falls and the package, the parcel is damaged. And then the client's like, okay, I need a proof of that and you need to, I can sign this, but like, I need the picture that you messed up somewhere or something like that. So we needed support from pictures for the device. We need support from the GPS also to know where they actually delivered the goods. And we needed offline interaction. And for me, the problem that I saw was that it's an Android app, and I know Android tries to kill app at some point, the memory manager, and it's less hard than in iOS, for example, which I think it just spent the time killing apps, but it's still like an issue, so I wanted to test that, really test that first, so that this is what I focused on in the first place, even before starting the project. I wanted to make sure that, yes, I can access the camera. And so I took my time to do this before saying, like, okay, let's go on this technology. For the rest, I was like, I will find a way. It's okay. And if I don't, I can always ask Andrew on the chat. So basically what I did, like, since I could manage all the way I wanted, I didn't have Jira tickets to fill, I didn't have Sprint to do, but I tried to stay kind of agile and have like some small deadlines to be able, like, okay, did I advance well, did I have like some slowdowns and stuff like that. So my idea was really, I've worked on different projects and sometimes we were just like, okay, it's gonna work like that, it's gonna work like that, there will be this kind of data. But actually, this kind of data that we thought was actually far from the real data. So I went to the business owner, like, give me like a CSV file, whatever, with real data, because I want to test on the screen, the size, I want to test what format it is, if I need like to transform, for example, in France, we have locale with a comma to separate like numbers instead of dots, for example. Those kind of things, like, I needed like to test soon. Then create a data model out of it, out of the base data they had, and then I wanted like to create fixtures with those data directly in the code, so I could really load my app with real data and check it out. I also used, so this is my personal plug, I used a rip.rest, which is like called a rest in peace library, which creates like a HTTP server, RESTful HTTP server, very fast. You have your struct data in Go, and you basically create a CRUD system that works with JSON or different encoding system. And I was like, okay, this is time to shine. I'm gonna make the servers like in less than one day or something. It's gonna be very fast. And it was, so I was happy about this. Then I use fine preference to cache data between the REST server and local to get the offline capabilities. And then I realized that, okay, my initial model was based on real data, but maybe the structure is not exactly, it won't stay like that. Maybe I will find some better way to store stuff. Maybe there will be new fields that needs to happen and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, but if my friend develop the connection in PHP to my REST API and I break everything, not gonna be happy. But we needed to also start integrating with the ERP. So we needed to kind of move on both fronts. And this is where I was like, okay, I think maybe something could help. And so I was like, maybe I should add OpenAPI capabilities to the server. So then it exposed an OpenAPI spec that I could generate a PHP client from it. And so just by writing this code, you create a new provider, basically, which is the CRUD thing, which doesn't have any HTTP thing. It's just like database stuff or repository if you have like this architecture, and then it's just your data. So you pass the route option with JSON codec, then you pass the MUX, you create a router out of it, and then you say, okay, on this address, I could do a GET, put, delete, and what else? Post, and then I handle my all my shipping routes, and then I decided once this worked, and we could generate a client for it, and it worked as well. So then I was like, okay, but now I need one that works for my mobile app, so I need a Go client. And I didn't want to generate it, because in general, I've seen code generated from OpenAPI tool, and it's not that great. It's practical, but like not that great. And also, I wanted like maybe caching capabilities, and I wanted like more leeway to do that, so I developed it with this project to get like a good connection. And so basically, you create a client new, you pass the struct you want to handle, you pass the URL where you're going to connect, and boom, you can do client.get, client.update, client.whatever you want, and it just works. And so the idea was also to have the cache client, so basically it would be like a cache client.new, and it would be the same, or I inject the client into the cache client, and then it just handles the cache layer. It's not there yet, so it's still a work in progress. So this was like kind of more like the interaction with the server, and for Fine, so I needed like a barcode scanner widget. Nothing crazy, it's an input, all right? But it just has a special logic because this scanner, when I was scanning on the phone, it wouldn't put like a carriage return. It wouldn't validate the entry. So then it would have forced the truck driver to scan and then press the enter button on the pop-up from the keyboard, which was not as cool. So basically I made a little logic which was like, okay, every time there is an input, I'm gonna put a timeout of 20 milliseconds, and if nothing has happened in the next 20 milliseconds, I'm gonna validate. So it makes it unusable by trying to type very fast on the keyboard, but it works very well with a scanner. Then I created a very basic signature widget. It was more of a proof of concept, and it worked. It's ugly and slow. So as we say, my idea was like make it work, make it make it work, make it good, make it fast. So it's still on make it work phase, but I've seen like a nice tutorial and other libraries that implement some signature widget from Stripe. So I think it should improve in the next few days. Along the way, I also needed like a camera widget, camera roll widget. And for this, so I have the button on the left that actually launch the camera from the phone. And then every time you have capture a picture, then it will add to the list on the right. And I also added like the same behavior than the Signal app for the picture you want to share with friends. When you're not, when you want to remove a picture you just selected, then there is like a trash icon. You press again, and then it deletes it. So it avoids like the undo thing. You just like it just like a, it's like a confirm that is not as annoying as a pop-up. I would love some transparency here, so I'm going to improve that. Again, it's make it work. We're going to make it good. We'll be a little bit later. And then came, so for the blue button here, the camera, I needed to actually, I didn't want to develop a full camera app. That would have required too much work. So I wanted to use the camera from the phone. In Android, you would use like an intent for that. So the intent, in fine, not easy. Not easy. And so this is what I came up after spending, I think, maybe 1 or 2 weeks. It's a lot of abstraction. But again, compared to the abstraction of Android that put all those abstraction on you, the developer, to create, this was me as trying to integrate that in fine as the library creator. So then for the user, it's easy. Once all of this is implemented, the user just import the camera package and does camera.open, and that's it. And then you are in the camera app and you press, you take your picture, and then it returns back, you validate, you return back to the app, and you get the data back to fine. But for now, it just works for camera. I want to make something that is that's more generic for all the intents of Android, even though I don't think it's so used anymore compared to the beginnings. But for me, it was the best way to launch the camera. So this might come when I have time, you know, the famous when I have time. Along the way, I also needed some tools. I'm not gonna try. There was a QR code generator. That's why I was laughing when Simon presented it, because I have like the device with a scanner. I needed like to scan some input some data, and as my input didn't allow me to input unless I was typing like Superman, I needed a way to input with the scanner, and so I just like used a QR code generator to generate whatever data I wanted to input. I created a screenshotter for the app and used like the, how do you call it, like a clipboard package that allows to save that into the clipboard. So then I could just go on GitHub issues and paste directly the screenshot of my advancement on the UI development. So that was nice, because like then I could like close the issues when the screen kind of looked like what it was supposed to in the first place. That allowed me like to track this. So then I just had like, I don't remember, maybe F11 or something, and then I had like the screenshot in the clipboard. I also, since we're in Go, we can run whatever we want, and if we want in the background, we just prefix with Go in front. So I made an embedded server. So then when I had to demo for the client, for example, and if I didn't have any network, well, I could still do it because my REST API was running on my Android device in a Go routine. So that was pretty practical to develop. And also it started like fresh with a no state. So I could also start from scratch, which has also its problems, because then you always a nice state and sometimes you want to taste like some edge cases. And then I also did I developed a logger handler because I wanted to basically pass some metadata in the context of the code. And so I could log with metadata. For example, the shipping route ID. I wanted like when this happens in the log, which shipping route ID are we talking about? Which destination are we talking about, etc. So I've did that handler because it's not by default. By the way, it was not so easy to find a good documentation about this, actually. And so, for example, what I did in my providers, we have a create method from the provider. It has the context and then the shipping route, and it's going to create it. And so the context, I augment it with the value of the shipping route ID. And so then when I do, I create a sublogger with func create, which means like every time I will log in this function, it will say that it's in the create function. So then I know where I am also in my code. And then I do log info context, I pass the context, and I put create shipping route. And I don't have my screen, so I guess I still need to refresh. It didn't refresh correctly. Okay, no. Hello? Okay, let's see. All right. Did it update? Yeah, it should. Oh, no. Oh, I think I didn't put. Anyway, so now I have logs. Also, I added like another handler of slug, because I use a slug from the Go 123 or 4, I don't remember. And so now I really have nice logging with colors, so I can really see each field, and I have all my context every time, so I know exactly what's happening, because that will be my production environment when like truck will be lost in the middle and say like, oh, the app didn't work. Well, at least I will know why and what happened. So that's it. And I hope you enjoyed it.